Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is George Grayson, who's a professor of comparative politics at the College of William and Mary. He has written more than 20 books and monographs, including The North American Free Trade Agreement, Regional Community and the New World Order, Oil and Mexican Foreign Policy, and Mexican Messiah, Andres Manuel López Obrador. He is a scholar of the Foreign Policy Research Institute, and his forthcoming book is The Cartels, the Story of Mexico's Most Dangerous Criminal Organizations and Their Impact on U.S. Security. Welcome to Background Briefing, George Grayson.
Very nice to be with you.
And clearly the revelations that the NSA has been spying on former Mexican President Calderon and the current Mexican President Peña Nieto, at least before he took office. Mexican officials are now saying that this could sour security cooperation between the two countries. What's your sense of what the fallout will be?
None. The current administration, headed by President Enrique Peña Nieto, is collaborating along the same lines as did his predecessor. And the Mexican government is not going to jeopardize a relationship with its neighbor, especially at a time when the drug war has so far this year taken 6,500 people.
So, but isn't the drug war unpopular in Mexico? And they, to some extent, the Mexicans blame the Americans because that's where the money comes from and that's where the market for the drugs is.
Nonetheless, for example, 105,000 people have been kidnapped since Peña Nieto took office, and that really does raise the hackles of the Americans. But Mexico, if it's going to try to reduce the influence of the cartels, absolutely needs to continue its bilateral relationship with the U.S.
So is this a case then of rather like in the movie Casablanca, where Claude Rains says, "Oh my God, I'm shocked. There's gambling going on in this establishment." Is this what is this outrage that's coming from Mexico, or at least from the Mexican president and his office? Is it just staged outrage?
It's that, but the PRI, which of course was in office for some 71 years before 2000, and then returned to the presidency last year, is building an extremely cynical coalition with the left. And one of the things that the left loves is that they like to see the government bashing Uncle Sam. And this is an ideal opportunity to beat up on the Americans. We've seen a precedent for this back in the Cold War period, the PRI, which was then run by corrupt fat cats who were known as dinosaurs, used symbols instead of substance to reach out to the left. And that symbol was they refused to break diplomatic relations with Castro's Cuba, something that every other country in the hemisphere did. Meanwhile, the Mexican government in the 70s, up until the mid-80s, would use an intelligence service to take pictures of every passenger boarding an Air Cubana flight to Havana or to another Cuban city, and those photographs with other information would be turned over to the CIA. So the Mexicans like to ingratiate themselves with the left, and they can do that by raising pluperfect hell about the activities of Washington, the NSA, and other security agencies.
So if this is just another round of gringo bashing, what about the fact, though, that Der Spiegel, with the leak from Snowden via Glenn Greenwald, have indicated that some 85,485 text messages sent by Peña Nieto and nine associates have been placed in NSA's data bank by the organization's Tailored Access Operation Department. Surely that's personal, isn't it? I mean, nobody likes the idea that your emails are being read by somebody else. So,
but the Mexican government has known that its electronic mail was being read for months, and so they've only waited until the last few days, specifically on October 20, to make this a cause célèbre in their relationship with the U.S. And so I think it has less to do with the president's being personally upset than it has to do in the PRIs moving steadily to build a coalition with the left of center, highly nationalistic PRD. And again, the PRD, the Democratic Revolutionary Party, just loves to see its president and leaders beat up on Uncle Sam.
Again, I'm speaking with George Grayson, Professor of Comparative Politics at the College of William & Mary. He's written more than 20 books and monographs, including The North American Free Trade Agreement, Regional Community and the New World Order, Oil and Mexican Foreign Policy, and Mexican Messiah, Andrés Manuel López Obrador. He is also a scholar of the Foreign Policy Research Institute, and he has a forthcoming book, The Cartels, The Story of Mexico's Most Dangerous Criminal Organizations and Their Impact on U.S. Security. So if this is all a sort of kabuki dance that's going on here, George, when you say that they're not going to, Mexico and the U.S. are going to continue to cooperate on this war on drugs, there was a lot of speculation that Peña Nieto would take a different tack from his predecessor, who declared war on the cartels and I think ended up pretty unpopular as a result of that. What's the latest evidence of Peña Nieto's approach to the war on drugs?
He hasn't come up with a new strategy. He's still using the judicial police, and he's using the military. In fact, the most effective arm of the military are the naval marines. And so he had talked during the campaign about forming a gendarmerie nationale that would eventually be composed of some 40,000 civilians, and it would take over the fight against criminal organizations. Budget figures simply would not allow him to create such a body, in large part because the armed services said, okay, we will give you some troops as seed corn, but you've got to replace on a one-for-one basis any of our cadres that go into this Gendarmerie Nationale. And so you're going to be paying twice for the same product. And Mexico's economy is just limping along. It's got severe budgetary problems. And the quite, I think, intelligent and astute Secretary of Finance, Luis Videgaray, said we can't afford the luxury of a Gendarmerie Nationale, and that turned out to be more of a campaign gimmick than any real change in policy. But you've got the same forces at work. There is more training of middle-class elements, but that's largely in scientific, forensic, electronic eavesdropping areas, and I don't think many of them are actually patrolling the streets.
So what is the response from former President Calderon, who happens to be a guest scholar at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government? He, of course, the NSA were spying on his emails while he was president of Mexico, and that of course, along with the fact that the current incumbent who replaced him was also spied on. It's not clear that he was spied on once he became president, but certainly before he became president. What is Calderon saying?
Calderon has made no secret of his outrage concerning the electronic spying that took place during his administration. And he's been much more vocal than even the current president, Peña Nieto.
So And what's your sense of the Mexican people? Do they care?
The Mexican people, by and large, like the United States. It's the elites who are more prone to try to drive a sharp stick into Uncle Sam's eye. But the mass of the Mexican people would migrate to the U.S. if they could, and it's hard to find a family that doesn't have a brother, sister, cousin, child who's not in the United States. And so I don't see popular outrage bubbling up. The outrage is coming from what they call the Red Circle, the journalists, the academics, and government officials.
And is the Red Circle a pejorative term to indicate they're leftists? Is that?
No, not necessarily. But it's inside baseball. It's those who read several newspapers a day and those who have long luncheons together and those who appear on TV and radio regularly. But it by no means represents the sentiment of the Mexican people in general.
So do we know what the NSA was looking for? Are they just trolling to keep an eye on world leaders, or were they specifically? Because, you know, there's been a history of corruption, as you pointed out, with the pre-party when it was in power, with the dinosaurs running the show, and, you know, it got so bad that they even assassinated their own presidential candidate, Colosio, up in Tijuana. And some of the vestiges of that criminality still exist today. So what was the NSA looking for, do you know?
Well, the NSA has been spying on leaders around the world, and I don't think they were picking on Mexico in particular. But the more, and I guess the tradecraft word is the more intel you can develop, the higher the budget request you can make the next time that Congress is distributing monies to the intelligence community. And my sense is the NSA did it because they could do it.
And, of course, they've been doing it in other countries that Edward Snowden's leaks have revealed. And, of course, we know that the president of Brazil canceled a state visit as a result of the revelations that the NSA was spying on her private emails and on some major Brazilian companies. Just in the last couple of days, the German leader has expressed her outrage. Again, you're never quite sure whether this is ritual outrage or genuine outrage.
And I think in terms of our NATO allies, it's genuine outrage, and probably also with regard to Dilma Rousseff, the president of Brazil, because she thought that she was, and her country, were the closest allies in South America to the United States. And so she has been just excoriating the U.S. government and Barack Obama personally at the United Nations over this eavesdropping. But she's been doing it for months. And to me, it's rather curious that only on October 20 does Peña Nieto jump into the ring, and that's why I think it's motivated more by his wanting to consolidate an alliance with the left to be able to promote big budget social programs and have a very weak oil reform and probably swell the ranks of the bureaucracy so there's more payola for more people. The left, the PRD, really comes out of the pre-split in the late 1980s, and the group that split off were really traditional members of the PRI who went on to form this leftist party, the PRD, but they share the same political DNA. That is, they like big government. They preach nationalism, that is, el petróleo es el nuestro, the oil is ours. And they also have helped to kill the idea of having a value-added tax on food and medicine, which is one of the few taxes that you can collect in Mexico. And again, they like to find ways to lambaste the United States, and I think the NSA has handed them the opportunity on a platter.
But George Grayson, sales taxes are regressive in the sense that the poor are taxed and the middle class are taxed disproportionately to their income. And you have this anomaly where one of the richest men in the world, if not the richest, is Carlos Slim Alou, the Mexican telecommunications multi-billionaire. It doesn't seem fair that he could, a country that's so poor, could produce one of the richest men in the world, at the same time have a regressive sales tax. Why not tax Slim?
Well, Slim has more battalions than do Mexico's poor, but you're right that the VAT, or the value-added tax, is regressive with regard to collection. But it is a tax that you can collect. It's extremely difficult to evade and avoid the value-added tax. It is spent, however, in a progressive fashion. That is, a disproportionate amount of those monies go for education, social services, health care, security, all programs that disproportionately benefit the less affluent sectors of Mexican society. So for a country like Mexico, a value-added tax is, on balance, a good tax.
Well, just in closing, George Grayson, do you think then that this will all sort of be swept under the rug and it'll be business as usual? And I mean, I guess there's no way of avoiding the reality that the NSA is going to spy on you. This applies to American citizens. In spite of these revelations, it doesn't seem like there's any evidence that they're stopping what they're doing and that there's any more transparency here in the United States. So if we don't know what our government's up to, then, you know, the Mexicans, the Brazilians, the French, and the Germans don't have a chance.
Well, the PRI are not greenhorns at the poker table. When they had power for so many years, they spied regularly on their own people. So this is more rhetoric than reality, and in fact, it's business as usual between the United States and Mexico, except Peña Nieto in trying to develop a coalition with the left is using the eavesdropping as a means to try to consolidate that alliance.
Well, George Grayson, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
The pleasure is mine. Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with George Grayson. He's a professor of comparative politics at the College of William and Mary. He's written more than 20 books and monographs, including the North American Free Trade Agreement, Regional Community and the New World Order, Oil and Mexican Foreign Policy, and Mexican Messiah, Andrés Manuel López Obrador. He is a scholar of the Foreign Policy Research Institute, and his forthcoming book is The Cartels, The Story of Mexico's Most Dangerous Criminal Organizations and Their Impact on U.S. Security. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. I'll be back again with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.